In this episode, geofencing and how to use it to optimize the effectiveness of your campaigns.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
Hey-o! All right, all right. So where in the world is Todd right now, right? Well, I am in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and I'm here for the Medical Device Marketing Conference. I spoke day one. It's now day three. I've been listening to some really cool presentations and some not so much. Go figure, right? Like any other conference. But I sat in a session that I really enjoyed, and it's with Carl Spilseth from Medtronic. Carl's going to be joining us in a few moments on the podcast. Now, check this out. He's with a company that I'm a vendor for, right? They're a client of mine, and I service one of their many divisions. And we provide them with digital strategy and creating the videos and then helping them and create content around their what is called KOLs, their key opinion leaders. And we go out all over the world and capture the content. The first time I did a project with them, I was actually at in Miami at a facility that is used for surgeons to train at. And we captured surgeons talking about what it's like using their new device and the ease of use and the ones that were already using it, what the results have been and so on. And we were creating what would be considered a video montage of testimonials, all inside of one video to make it very compelling. And this might be like 4 or 5 years ago. And so I go all over the world servicing a variety of different clients with our team. There's some members of the Wirebuzz team that are here with me right now. And I think geotargeting is a really good use for video. So you get a little foundation on geotargeting. You can plot around a location. Let's say it's a stadium, or let's say it is a conference, a business conference, and your target customer is going to be in attendance, and you want to make sure that you can start that marketing process. Historically, marketers have created banners that would be inside of the conference hall. You've seen these huge banners that cost thousands of dollars that are next to the escalator. And as people are going up and down the escalator, they're looking at that company banner. But that doesn't give you anything after the event, right? People go up and down that escalator. What do you do with that big banner? You roll it up, you stick it in a closet, you never use it again because in 3 months your company changes your logo. That money just went down the drain. Geofencing is a much smarter solution. So instead of marketing inside, you're basically putting a fence around a location and marketing to people inside that location. And you're doing it using a surgical example, like a scalpel, unlike the way marketers have typically done it when they've tried to hit a specific customer. They've carpet bombed everybody and my mother with an ad and then hoped that their specific target customer sees it. But geofencing is significantly more efficient, as you're going to hear in the interview with Carl. It's a great way to get people into your content with video. They watch it, and if they watch, let's say, over a certain percentage, you determine what that is. You can apply more marketing dollars to remarket to that group that watches, let's say, over 80% or 85%. And then you've got a second group that might watch 75% to 80%, and then a group that watches 50% to 75%. And then everybody that watches less than 50%, they're obviously not as valuable as the other groups, right? So you allocate your resources and prioritize them to the audiences in your remarketing, I'm talking about, that are showing the highest engagement signals. Super easy, great exercise, inexpensive, and a beautiful way for you to hit a very rich target audience. Continue the education process as you are going down the path to convincing and converting them to be your next greatest client. All right, so sit back. Here's a great interview with Carl Spilseth. All right, right now I'm with Carl Spilseth. Carl is a digital marketing manager at Medtronic, and Carl was giving a speech yesterday at this conference that we're both speaking at about geofencing, and I just knew it was the right nerdy topic for my audience. Carl, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be with you.
Yeah. Right on. So, okay, here's the deal, man. Yeah. Geofencing is a really interesting topic. Your speech was on point. I think there are a lot of people that still don't understand the geofencing concept. Can you start at the very beginning and kind of paint a picture for people? What is geofencing?
To me, it's the foundation of digital marketing, because without it, we wouldn't be able to restrict our advertising from a regulatory standpoint or really scope the audiences that we really intend to engage with. So we look at geofencing as a way to both stay within scope from a regulatory standpoint, as well as to find our audiences based upon where they live or where they're going and where they're likely to take action upon our creative message.
All right. So for the non-medical marketers, when you hear Carl mention regulatory, you got to understand marketers like Carl and I, we can do all the tactics that everybody else can do, but our goalposts are further than most because not only do we have to be able to execute, but we have to be in compliance with a company's regulatory. And if you're a marketer and you don't have to deal with that, God bless you, you're lucky. But for us, it's part of the cost of doing business. When you're talking about the foundations of digital marketing and that geofencing fits right in there, kind of explain that to me.
Well, to find a geo target, you need to be looking at your business drivers. What are you really trying to achieve with your advertising and your end destination on your webpage? So it all ties back to where's your sales force located, where are your potential consumers located, where are they going? To do well in digital marketing, it needs to be alignment and not just kind of shotgunning it out to the entire United States or the whole world, for that matter.
Very precise. And when you're looking for if you're planning a geofencing campaign, it might be around a conference, it might be around, let's say, the patients that go to a hospital. Mm-hmm. What are some, give me some examples that are common in geofencing for you.
Well, for us, doctors congregate at congresses where, specialty physicians get together to talk about clinical evidence, and manufacturers are there to talk about the efficacy of their product and, why it's standard of care, why it should be standard of care, that sort of thing. So those sorts of events are really key for marketers like us to get in front of those physicians, and people are always looking for ways to complement that in-person activity with other tactics. So, I actually worked in the software industry for a while, and we used to do things like room drops at hotels, right. Like all that ancillary activity. Well, with digital and geofencing, this is another way to kind of cut through the clutter and get your message in front of a potential, physician in that case, and get them to take action at something at the event. And then, as we discussed yesterday, take advantage of that that targeting capability and use that engagement for future messaging in the future. Because once you know that they've engaged with your ad or your landing page, then you have the ability to continue the dialogue. And maybe remind them of a big release that you had at that conference, and continue to reinforce the efficacy of your product or service.
All right. So when you're, let's say, going to a conference or a congress, you're as a marketer, you're trying to say to yourself, "How do I get in front of this very concentrated population? Mm-hmm. And how do I? What do I use as a piece of content that piques their interest, and then how do I continue that relationship on after the conference when they go?" Because I think what you're saying is you end up remarketing to them or retargeting to them once they leave that location and go about their life?
Right, if we're doing it right. If we're really buttoned up with our strategy, we're doing it in that way. I mean, there are definitely some cases where it's, you know, we just want to make the most of our in-event presence, but I think that's really the strategic way, is to continue with the remarketing.
Right. Yeah. So when you're doing a geo fence around, let's say, a conference center, do you limit that to, like, is it 1 mile? Is it less than a mile? Is it right just around the actual facility? How do you tighten that down?
It depends a little bit on the ad platform that you're using. Okay. So it might be a little less precise if you're using a social network. But when you're talking about display advertising or, you know, video advertising, you can get very precise and really target right around conference centers or hotels where your likely audience is staying. So it depends a little bit on the network and, frankly, the density of the metropolitan area. Yeah. Because you need to be really careful in New York.
Right.
You need to make sure that you're not casting a 5 mile radius in New York, because you're going to get millions of people that you don't intend to be communicating with.
Yeah. So off mic, before we started the interview, I told you a story. Forgive me. I'm going to repurpose it again. I was at the American Society of Clinical Oncology, ASCO, the largest cancer conference of the year. One of our clients wanted to target medical oncologists, recognizing that they were all, or a majority of them, were going to be at the conference. We geofenced around McCormick Place. And with YouTube, anytime that somebody watched a video inside of McCormick Place, if they went to the end of that video, we remarketed or retargeted them over X number of days or throughout a year, something like that, and continued on a deeper relationship to bring them through a buyer's journey. Is this basically what you're talking about with geofencing?
Yeah, in fact, I think that's a great idea and a way to take it, you know, in a way I haven't even thought of before. You know, in some of the breakout sessions that we had at this conference that we're at today, you know, people were already starting to connect the dots between what they could do with their Facebook custom audiences and geo-targeting. So there are a lot of different ways that you can use it. And as I was explaining yesterday, it geo-targeting in some level is a piece of every digital tactic, from search marketing to social media, display, video. So it can be layered on and used in addition to many different tactics. And I think what you're describing is a great application.
And when we start thinking about efficiency of campaigns, it might be the most efficient, because you already know that person is demonstrating interest. And so now you've got a richer pool of people that you can follow around. You could probably do that for a lot less expensive than starting a fresh campaign and carpet bombing the universe again.
Right. And I would argue it even gets more efficient if you're coming into a big event, whether it be, you know, a conference like we're talking about, or, you know, in a different industry where somebody's coming to your store. You know, if you've led up to that engagement already with fine-tuning the regular targeting, okay, on a platform, and then they come to the event and then they engage, you know, you have a quality target there. Uh-huh. And somebody that you definitely want to make sure you have maximum exposure with. Uh-huh. Because I work on a lot of campaigns where we're trying to squeeze the most out of budgets.
Right.
And we don't necessarily always have the opportunity to get the frequency that we want. So that's a way to kind of measure that and get them, you know, find when it makes sense to really get the frequency that you need to engage with the audience.
Carl, quick question in closing. Is there anybody that you read regularly or follow that is a geofence guru to you that you could recommend to the audience?
I'm not coming up with one.
Well, I think it's interesting because I'm not coming up with one either. And I'm like a devoted reader to the latest information to make sure, because the early birds always get the worms in digital marketing. But I don't know who that geofencing guru is that I would plant my star towards and just keep following.
Right. I mean, it's funny because it's not a discipline, right? It's not like geofencing is a discipline, like maybe somebody's a channel expert on Facebook ads, right?
Yeah.
But because geotargeting crosses so many different digital platforms, I don't think anybody's really carved that niche out.
Yep.
So I think, you know, it is an opportunity for somebody.
Yeah. So it's like, if somebody gets it, that's your niche, right? Like I got started in 1990 with search and content, 1999, excuse me. And as I started growing through the industry, I started seeing my friends split off and claim territory. I'm going to be the guru of search, or I'm going to be the big boss of social. And before you knew it, it was like all these people keep peeling off. Somebody's going to peel off and own geo-targeting. And then I've got one last question for you. For companies that are using it, what are some ways that companies use it besides a conference? Mm-hmm. Could it be like around a facility where those employees work?
Yeah, so you think about that whole discipline that's been carved around about account-based marketing.
Yeah.
So, you know, in healthcare, the dynamics are changing where it's our buyers aren't necessarily just physicians or also executives and purchasing agents at hospitals. So there it makes a lot of sense to complement our campaigns with targeting around headquarters of, you know, hospitals or insurance companies for that matter. So that's definitely one application around, you know, specifically around buildings. And then, you know, as we were talking about in the beginning, you know, aligning it with where sales reps are, where likely patients are, those are all great applications as well.
All right, so Carl and I are nerds in the marketing space. No offense on the nerds thing. It's a compliment where I come from. But you in the medical marketing space, the examples that we're giving to you as a listener can easily be lifted up like a blueprint and dropped into your industry. Let me give you an example. If you are in real estate, for example, and you're trying to figure out how you use geofencing, let's say you own a neighborhood, or there's a neighborhood that you're like, those are my target customers. You could geofence around that neighborhood, target those people, provide them an essential piece of content, and then remarket to them and stay in front of them a lot more efficiently. Or if you are trying to, oh, check this out, or you're trying to get into a company, like you have identified that there's a large company that you want to show them your expertise, but also explain to them what their strategies and tactics could be to get better results, you could geo-target around that facility. It could be a hospital, like Carl mentioned, or it could be any other type of business, and you could create an essential piece of content for their chief marketing officer, but everybody in the company sees it, and they keep forwarding it to the chief marketing officer. Here's the 15 things your chief marketing officer may not know about optimizing results. I'm just spitballing here, but after 20 people at that company keep seeing it, that chief marketing officer is going to get maybe 10 people that are like, dude, you probably should check this out. So that's a, do you hate that one?
No, I like it. I think it depends on a variety of factors, and that's where targeting gets kind of fun. I mean, because you're thinking about, you know, where is that office location? How big is it? Do they share that office space with a lot of people? In some cases, it might make sense to really lean heavily on the geo-targeting, but then in other cases, you might need to dial it in further with platform-specific stuff, whether it be you know, demographic information or associations, or adding a third party list. That's something we talked about yesterday, where there are these organizations that sell information about likely targets. So you could layer on marketing, people that are interested in marketing topics on top of your geo target to display video or display banners. But you know, I think that's where it becomes strategic and not just, hey, let's geo-target. There is a little bit of a science and thought process about, you know, really what's going on in that geo and how dialed in are you comfortable with to serve your ad.
Yeah. If you're just getting started or you want to know where to get started, if you ask any rockstar digital marketer, you pull them aside like I just did with Carl at a conference, they're probably going to say, the best place to get started is to start testing. And with testing, you can do things inexpensively and get yourself going. And before you know it, you look deep down inside of the analytics. And guess what? The answers are always in the analytics. Start learning, discovering, optimizing. And before you know it, you could be, well, you could be what Carl and I were discussing, that geofencing guru that we could all learn from. All right, Carl, thank you so much. Carl Spilseth joining me from Medtronic. Carl, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Todd.
All right. A super cool interview. I hope that was valuable to you. Lord knows it was. If you want to learn how to guarantee that your videos generate a return on investment, you know, ROI, and candidly, that's all your boss really cares about. Like, your boss or your client comes from the same mindset perspective. They don't really care about video. They care about the end results of video, which is revenue generation. So always align yourself with the end goal, like you do with any marketing campaign. What is the end goal? And use your videos in a compelling way to move people through the process. If you've got like a series of five videos that people absolutely positively need to see before they become a customer, you know, you got to transfer information from your big massive dome into your prospect's dome. And if, let's say, you've got five videos that they need to go through before they're indoctrinated and you become their guru, then if they watch video one and two, but they haven't seen three, four, and five, what do? Well, you retarget them. You got to set up the retargeting at the beginning. But if they watch video two, you could start retargeting them all over the web with videos three. And then once they watch video three, you start retargeting them to watch video four. Move them along the path. I look at this a lot like train tracks. And sometimes your train's always going to bring people to the end destination, but people may get off that train, stop off at a different spot, and you just keep encouraging them to get back on that train. All aboard, right? You get it. Get on that train, man. Let's do this journey together. We're almost there to the final destination. And what is the final destination? It's the point of purchase, right? You got it. So if this podcast episode was valuable to you, please go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Hit the subscribe button and hit it hard. And then leave a really honest rating and review. The ratings and reviews are super valuable to me because it allows me to know if this information is helping you live up to what is the mission of this podcast. Become a video marketing master, right? And for all of you that are emailing me questions, I get back to every one of you. I often include it in the podcast episode. But on a personal note, if I haven't gotten back to you, please don't hesitate to resurface it. It just means I haven't seen it. And I think we all can agree that we're inundated with different platforms and email accounts and so on. And Lord knows we all get spammed like there's no tomorrow. So if there's a question, a pressing question you'd like me to answer, please make sure you submit it to me. And if you want to learn how to guarantee that your videos generate ROI, well, I created a five-part web-based mini course that you can get access to. I designed it for you. No guilt. You should watch it, really. And those videos can be accessed at wirebuzz.com/ROI, like return on investment. And they are free to the listeners of this podcast, which means you. wirebuzz.com/ROI. And look, I'm going to continue to do what I'm supposed to do for you. Advocate and defend for you as a marketer. So when you get in to the conference room with your team, you are a video marketing master, right? That is my goal. Where do I go now? Well, from Minnesota, I go to Michigan, outside of Detroit, where my in-laws are, and I'm going to take a couple days off there. I got a couple more podcast episodes that I'll drop, and you'll get access to it. And along the way, if there's any news or information, hit me up. I always love hearing from you. And it is my goal and hope that all of this helps you become a much more profitable, more effective, more highly targeted marketer. Because when you do, the universe opens up and people just can't stop reaching out to you to give you more work and opportunities to do great things for them. Best of luck to all of you, and thank you again for coming along this journey with me at Video Marketing Mastery. Peace.